It's a beautiful day. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you, Good Shepherd Mass Choir. Thank you so very much. If you would, please, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you for this day that we call Mother's Day, dear Heavenly Father. Thank you for this day that we get to honor those who gave us, who you used to give us birth. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Lord, as I speak today, I pray that with everything that's within me and everything that I have, that the name of Jesus, the face of Jesus, the thought of Jesus, the life of Jesus will be lifted up above all things, that lives might be changed, saints are challenged, and your name is glorified. In Jesus' name I pray and ask it all. Amen. Amen. Greetings on this beautiful, wet, rainy day. Mother's Day. Mother's Day. I'm going to be preaching today out of the book of Proverbs, chapter 31. And the normal sermon that you preach on Mother's Day, and I've preached it before, is the Proverbs 31 woman and how wonderful she is and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And it's a great message. It's a great portion. But the part that I've normally overlooked, and the Lord just kind of caught my eye with it this time, was the nine verses that precede the teachings of what we call the Proverbs 31 woman, which would be Proverbs 31 verses 1 through 9. And with this Proverbs 31 verse through 9, the first thing that hit me when I started reading about King Lemuel, talking about the prophecy of his mother, and I'm thinking about Mother's Day. And so I sat down, with this being Mother's Day, I sat down to write an unabridged, exhaustive list of all the things in this world that can be accomplished without a mother. I know that sounds kind of strange for Mother's Day, but I wanted a complete list of everything, completely unabridged, everything that could be accomplished without a mother. And I want to share this list with you. This is my whole list, y'all. Don't laugh, I spent hours with it. I tried to figure out where would I be, what could I do without the woman that gave me birth. First off, I wouldn't be here. There's nothing you can do without starting with a mother. And that's why I say, for those of us who had godly parents, and I was blessed. I had godly mother, godly father. Thank you, Lord. They've both gone on to glory. Thank you, Lord. Some folks didn't have that. Some folks didn't have a mama who tucked them in at night. Some folks didn't have a mother who spoke kindly to them. Some people had mothers who were downright aggravating. But she kept you. She brought you into this world. And you need to say, thank you. And if she's still around, you pray for her shortcomings. And the Bible says, if you, this is what I love about the Bible, because people come in, Pastor, you just don't know how abused I was. My mother and my father, they didn't love me, and they treated me this way, and they treated me that way. And, well, now that you know what's wrong, why don't you fix it? That's what the Bible says. The Bible says it in Ezekiel. If you're old enough to figure out where mom and daddy went wrong and to articulate it, say, well, they didn't do this and they did, that's done. Can't undo that. But now you take that knowledge, get the word of God, and apply it, and say, Lord, let me do better. And you know what? Sometimes you're going to find out it's not all that easy. This is a tough world, y'all. So you just might find yourself saying, Lord, thank you, I'm still alive. Thank you that mama kept me. I'm still alive. Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31 is a great, the whole book of Proverbs is a great book of wisdom. That's it's the book of wisdom. It's where you go to get everyday understanding about everything in life. And the word wisdom actually means skill. It literally means skill at war. And they're talking about battle. But you can apply that in various applications. You can say skill at being a warrior with a sword, which will keep you alive, or skill spiritually, which will keep you alive and keep you on the right track. Wisdom is that which will keep you alive spiritually and physically. Wisdom is the proper application of knowledge, experience, and understanding. That's wisdom. That's what the whole book of Proverbs is about. Wisdom. How do I navigate in this world? How do I prepare myself for the next world? How do I treat my fellow man? Turn to the book of Proverbs. You get a lot of wisdom when you go there. Curiously enough, you won't get barely through the first chapter of the book of Proverbs. In fact, it'd be Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8. And you'll see the instructions where it says, Proverbs chapter 31, verse 8. Oops, excuse me, not 31, verse 8, chapter 1. Verse 8. And in chapter 1, verse 8, it tells you, I'll get there. They never open when you want them. There you go. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8, and it reads, my son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. Hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law or the principles of your mother. See, a lot of women, and I married one who told me that, especially when she was young, a lot of women think that the Bible gives women second-class citizenship. I'm here to tell you, that's not from the Bible. That's just how men apply it. We like taking it, hey, settle down over there. We like taking it and using it to beat women upside the head with it. But God's way, God's plan from the Bible, ladies, if you really ever understood it, you would understand that God says you are the weaker vessel and he commands the man to treat you right. He commands it. He even tells the man, if you don't treat her right, I won't listen to your prayers. He doesn't say that to the woman anywhere. So, ladies, don't get discouraged when things are kind of fuzzy, because it's not God's word, not God's word. Because God says here, he says to the son, he says to the child, and on this particular portion, you're talking about just a young child, listen to your father, and your mother's input carries the same weight. That's what he says here. Now, that's on chapter 1, verse 8. So I thought, boy, that's kind of curious that he starts off in the book of Proverbs, the book of wisdom, the book that I'm supposed to go to and learn how to live and how to conduct myself. He starts off with the very first chapter talking about the law of my mother. And then guess what he ends the book with? Reflections of the laws of my mother. The book of wisdom starts with, make sure you pay attention to your father and your mother. And it ends with, listen to what your mother said. When we read this scripture, you'll see King Lemuel. Nobody knows who this king is. They think it's King Solomon. There's a pretty good argument for that. It might be, some think that it was probably a nickname for Solomon, but they know there was no king in all of Israel, in all the days of Israel, there was no king named Lemuel. They know that to be a fact. But when you read the context of this scripture, and you see that Solomon wrote the bulk of mostly everything else, you sort of kind of lean to the idea that it must be Solomon. But we don't know for certain. So I just want to let you know that as we approach these passages. Let's read. It reads from the King James Bible. Proverbs chapter 31, verses 1 through 9. The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. What, my son? And what, the son of my womb? And what, the son of my vows? Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes to drink strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that be heavy, that be of heavy hearts. Let him drink and not forget his poverty and remember his misery no more. Open thy mouth for the dumb in the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, doers, and hearers of his word. Amen. Today, we're going to talk about reflections on a mother's wisdom. Reflections on a mother's wisdom. The proverb is written, it's the words of King Lemuel, but it's the words of King Lemuel as he reflects back on what Mama said when he was a boy. So, mothers, teach your children. Mothers, give your children some time. Now, this is not to the neglect of fathers. This is Mother's Day. I'm talking about mothers. And being a mother really does require more than just giving birth. It takes some work, y'all. It takes some input. And look at this. Here is the king. Here's the king of the nation. And it says that he's kicked back, and in a moment of time, he's just reflecting on what his mama told him. Mama, if you don't teach him, he can't reflect back on what he needs to know. Mama, don't be in such a hurry to get out into the workplace, mama. Another dollar, if you hang on to some that you're spending, you have another dollar. You won't get another shot with your children. You got one shot. One shot. Give them time. Oh, well, Pastor, I give them quality time. Well, can you explain that to me? What part of the day is quality time? Somebody tell me that. I kind of missed that. I kind of thought time was time. I didn't see the little parentheses, quality time. I didn't see that. I'm sorry. Mamas, give your children time. You've heard it said before, and I'll just go ahead and say it again. Love is spelled T-I-M-E. That's love. Don't give everybody else your best and give your children the rest. Don't do that, Mama. There will be money to be made when you kick them out the house. And don't hang on to them, by the way. Kick them out the house. There will be money to be made. There'll be time. There'll be clocks to punch.
you know, all that good stuff. Your college degree is not in vain because, number one, you're pouring it into your kids. It's not in vain. It's a good thing for a woman to get educated. It's a great thing. But Lemuel is sitting here, and of all things, he's thinking about the prophecy that his mother taught him. And in verse 1, when he's talking about prophecy, the word prophecy translated there is from the word burden. These are things that his mama said, I've got to get this into my son. I've got to get my son to understand these things. Why do I got to get my, it's important to teach all your children, boys and girls. But you know what? I got to put something into my son because one day he is going to head the house, somebody's house. He is going to be a father, somebody's father. He is going to be a husband. Okay, I said it. And if you don't want him to grow up like his daddy, you better start teaching him now. Okay, I said it. Put something in them while you have them. The Bible doesn't say they're going to listen to it. It doesn't say anywhere in the Bible. When you teach them, I guarantee you they're going to listen to it. What he says is you put it in them and let God take care of them. Let God take care of them. It says the burden that his mother had. She said, these are some things I got to teach my son. I got to put some stuff in my son. His father's going to put in the manly stuff, but I got to put in some other stuff that he needs to know just as well. And one of those things which we're not talking about today is when you get from chapter 10 down to the end of Proverbs 31, when he talks about a virtuous woman. Mama, tell your son what to look for when it comes to a virtuous woman. We're not dealing with that today. We're dealing with the first 9 verses. But mama, teach your son what to look like. What to look for. Not look like, what to look for. Because one day he's going to come home and country western song. Too much lipstick, too much rouge. Mom and dad said, son, we think you're confused. But I like my women just a tad on the trashy side. Is that what you want? You better teach him. You better teach him. And it has to be a burden. It has to be a, I want to do this, I want to do this, I want to do this. And then here's something that's in 2015 is totally, totally politically incorrect. It says, the prophecy that his mother taught him, the word taught him, literally translated right here. Not every place else, but right here. The word taught him means with blows. What do you mean, Pastor, with blows? My mama, God rest her soul. I'm going to beat the fool out you, boy. Politically incorrect. But here I am, 63 years later, serving the Lord. Thank you, mama. Thank you for knocking some sense into me. I was crazy as I wanted to be. And she wouldn't relent. She wouldn't stop. She had 4 boys and 4 girls, and she would not stop. You can talk a lot into your children. You can talk a lot to your children. But the Bible says the rod of correction will drive the foolishness far from them. Now, you may think you got more compassion than God, okay? But I'm here to tell you, God said the rod of correction will drive foolishness far from him. He didn't say try to kill your children. Don't say that. It doesn't say that in the Bible. But he says you better put a stick on them. Because if you find yourself in an in-depth conversation with a 5-year-old, both of y'all are crazy. Because the Bible says foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. And you're sitting there, did you really mean to tell your teacher to shut up? Mm-hmm. Oh, now you didn't really mean that, did you? Oh, yes, I did. Oh, now come on, tell mommy, no. You better get them straight. And here, listen to this, y'all. Listen to this real good. If they won't listen to you, you, the one who feed them, the one who clothe them, the one who takes them where they got to go. If they won't listen to you, Who are they going to listen to? Mothers, God has given you a unique position, and he's put a burden in your heart to talk to your children, to train up your children. Lemuel is sitting here, and I have this picture of him in my mind. He's the king, and he's just sitting there, and it says he's reflecting, he's thinking back on what his mama taught him. He's thinking back on all the things that his mother put into him. And look, it's like he's hearing her voice when verse 2 says, "What, my son? What, and what, the son of my womb? And what, the son of my vows?" Mama's sitting there saying, she hadn't heard from him in a while. He hadn't called home. He'd been hiding from everybody. And she's saying, "Son, what's going on? Where you at, son? Talk to me. Son of my womb." They can make you feel real guilty with that one. "I carried you 9 months. I suffered through labor for you for 20 hours. Son of my womb. You caused me pain then. Are you going to cause me pain now too, son? My son. Son of my womb. Where are you? What's going on?" And then he talks about the son of my vows. He's telling, Lemuel is remembering, his mother was a godly woman. His mother, probably something like Hannah, because the Bible tells you that Hannah, back in the Old Testament, Hannah had been without a son. Hannah had been without a child. She was childless. And Hannah, the mother of Samuel, she prayed. And she asked the Lord for a son. She said, "Lord, give me a son. Give me a son. Give me, I got to have me a son." She topped it all off. I said, "Lord, if you give me a son, you know what I'm going to do with him? I don't want a son so that I can have a son. I want a son so that you can have another son. I'm going to turn him over to you, Lord." Oh, my goodness. If we could get more mothers to take their sons, and it's not too late. I don't care how old they are. It's not too late. Say, "Lord, have your own way. I have done my best with him. I'm doing the best I can, Lord." And it's like talking to a brick wall. "Lord, he's yours." If you start off while they're young, it goes a whole lot better, y'all. But don't. If you missed it, ain't too late. Ain't too late. He's still crazy. It ain't too late. Say, "Lord, take him." Look, this is the son. This is the son thinking back. He knows his mama dedicated him to God. "Son of my vows, the son that I prayed for, the son that I prayed over. Son of my vows, what's going on? How you making it, son?" Even when they're grown, you're so concerned about them. You're so concerned about them. And you want them to do well. You just want them to do so well. But you know you've done all you can do. You know you put in all you can put in. You took him as far down the road as you could take him. You got to turn him over to God. And for y'all with sons who are a little bit older, I'm telling you, by the time he can look you in the eye, it's over. Because the Bible says a young man's glory is his strength. And in his mind, he's saying, "If you ain't got enough of this, I ain't got to listen to you no more." But oh my goodness, you say, "You ain't got to listen to me, but you belong to God. I gave you to God. God will take that. God will handle that. Let him know it's not between you and him. God has promised him a long life. God has promised," he said, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord. You want a long life? This is where you need to be. If you don't, it's not between you and mama. It's not between you and daddy. It's between you and God. You want to make it between you and mama. You want to make it between you and daddy. But it's between you and God, and I'm tired of running interference for you. Have your own way, Lord. Have your own way. He says, dedicate your children to the Lord. Let's talk about the first warning that his mother, as he reflects on the things that his mother is teaching him and has taught him, she gives him three strong warnings. She warns him about women, she warns him about wine, and she warns him about the ways of the world. These are the burdens that this mother, that Lemuel's mother, had on her. She said, I got to prepare my son. I got to caution my son about women. I got to caution my son about wine. I got to caution my son about the ways of this world. Verse 3. He remembers his mother speaking to him. Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drinks. Verse 3 says, give not thy strength unto women, nor the ways to that which destroyeth kings. Lemuel's mother is cautioning him against an organization which some of you are familiar with. And for those of you who aren't familiar with it, I'll bring you up to snuff on it. There's an organization called NOW, N-O-W-W. Now, I know you know the NOW with the N-O-W, but this is NOW with N-O-W-W. This is the National Organization of Wild Women. She's saying, son. And Lemuel's sitting here, and he's thinking about all the women heathen that he's attracted to, and that he, son, leave that one alone. Mama said, baby, that one ain't no good. Oh, but mama, she looks so good. Son, leave that one alone. She's cautioning him. She's saying, don't give your strength. Don't give away what God has given you. God has given you strength. God has given you authority. You're a man. You're a king. You're a prince. God has given you authority not to be squandered on wild women. But I like him, mama. No. Son. And you know, that's why she has to have such a burden. That's why she has to have such strong admonition, because, wow, women look good. And men, we just weak. We just weak. And the mama, you got to tell him, son, back off. Son. Turn your Bibles to Nehemiah, chapter 13, verse 26. The book of Nehemiah, chapter 13, verse 26. Words of wisdom from Mama. And we see in the book of Nehemiah, we see what happens when you don't listen to Mama. Nehemiah, chapter 13, verse 26, and it reads, did not Solomon, king of Israel, sin by these things? Yet among many nations, as there were no king like him, no king like Solomon, who was beloved of his God, and God made him king over all Israel. Nevertheless, even him did outlandish women cause to sin. Son, leave that woman alone. Solomon, the wisest man who ever walked the face of the earth, had a weakness for wild, pretty women. And God told him, don't do it. His mama told him, don't do it. And even the wisest man who ever lived by messing with silly women got his heart turned away from God. See, when God has a godly mother give us this wisdom, we have to understand this is not to puff her up. This is to point you and me towards God. Because ultimately, we always have to answer to God. Parents, don't make it so personal between you and your children. Because ultimately, we don't even know if we're going to be here tomorrow. We're not promised tomorrow. But ultimately, it's going to be between your child and God. So tell them what God wants out of them. Tell them how to please God. Tell them how to serve God. Have a burden for that. Because no matter how, well, my kid's a straight A student. My kid is this. My kid has accomplished that. My kid has accomplished this. Solomon did more than all of them. And he still was caused to sin because he would follow after the women that he had no business following after. Lemuel's mother is speaking to him from being a child. Lemuel, don't give your strength away. Don't give your strength away unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroys kings. Lemuel, these are the things that tear down kingdoms. Men, even in America politics, you've seen men in high-ranking places. Guys who you said, oh, who's that boy? That boy named Gary Hart. I think that was Gary Hart, was it? Gary Hart ran for president. You know, nobody, any. Years ago, man named Gary Hart. The reason you don't know him, because he didn't win. He ran for president, and he had a reputation as a womanizer. And the press had caught him a couple times in some very bad situations. And then he said to the press, he said, well, follow me. And he was a married man. He said, I'm not doing anything evil. I'm not doing anything wicked. And this is back when the press actually cared whether you were an adulterer or not. Actually, they didn't. They just wanted to prove him wrong. And he challenged them to follow him. This was a man who in every poll was ahead. This man was going to be president, barring a heart attack. This man was going to be president of the United States of America. He was going to become the most powerful man on the face of the planet. And what happened? He got caught up with some woman in an adulterous relationship. The ways that destroys kings. He had intelligence. He had money. He had popularity. He was sharp. He was sharp. But he gave his strength to wild women. Young men. Nah. All men. It's a trap. It's a trap. Don't fall into it. It's just like the Bible in Proverbs tells you. It's like a bird walking along, and you see the snare right there. You see the snare, and you go and you step in it. It's a trap. It's a trap. Avoid it. He says, a warning against wild, ungodly women. On the positive side, the Bible says when you get to that age where you're wanting to look for a wife, go down to verse 10, chapter 31, look for a virtuous woman. And starting off with the first thing that you know she's a virtuous woman is she's saved. Does she know Jesus Christ and the pardon of her sins? Has she made a profession of faith in Jesus Christ? Has she ever said, I believe that Jesus Christ came, he died, and he rose from the dead paying for my sins? Because if you start with that, you're starting in the right point. From that point on, the Bible tells me We can work through anything else. She may have been this and she may have been that, but now that she belongs to Jesus Christ, guess what? You got yourself a godly woman, and you got a starting point. Stay away from women who are ungodly, and don't give your strength to them. Part two, he says, she gives him a warning about wine, about the effects and the power and the abuse of wine and strong drink. Verses 4-7, and it reads, "It is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Give strong drink unto them that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. Let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his misery no more." Lemuel, there's a warning about strong drink and the consequences thereof. If you turn your Bibles to the book of Daniel, chapter 5, verses 3-5. The book of Daniel, chapter 5, verses 3-5. And what you'll see here is you'll see an occasion where a king named Belshazzar, he's a Babylonian king. Belshazzar is having a festival. He's having a feast. He's having a raucous, rock'em sock'em party time. They're partying. They've been partying for days. He had been drinking for days. And after him and his princes were well drunk, here's what Belshazzar did. Verse 3. "Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem. And the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines drank in them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver, of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone. In the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace, and the king saw the parts of the hand that wrote." Here's a king. Picture this. He's the king of Babylon, the most powerful nation on the planet at that time. He's got it all. He's got it all. But what happens when he succumbs to strong drink and strong wine? He sins against the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And the Bible says he gets his buddies together, and they're going to have this big party. And he knows that the vessels, the golden vessels from the king of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he knows they had been set aside by his grandfather Nebuchadnezzar not to be used. But because when you're drinking, when you take alcohol, when you take excessive alcohol and drugs, you can't think straight. In fact, the worst thing about drinking, not being able to think straight, you start thinking you think better. Just ask your friends. "Man, I drive a little bit better when I'm buzzed." "Oh, I didn't know that. I rode with you. It didn't seem like it." You just like, and when we're talking about intoxication, they're talking about alcohol, but I'm not gonna limit it to alcohol. Alcohol, drugs, any of, and alcohol does a lot of damage, y'all. But you get the drugs, the alcohol, anything that you use to alter your way of thinking, it's not good. Because all of those things do what they're designed to do. They alter your thinking. And she's saying here, Lemuel's mother is saying, stay away from strong drink and intoxicating things. When Belshazzar, when he took those golden vessels and he began to drink and drink and drink out of God's vessels, he was sinning against the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And the Bible, and he's the most, don't gloss over, he's the most powerful man on the planet. He's the king of the most powerful nation on the planet. And the Bible says that some fingers came on the wall and wrote down, "You have been weighed in the balance and found short. And the Bible says that night, that very night, God cut him off. He died that night. His kingdom was lost that night. Don't think it just happens back then. Because up until it happened, he was rolling pretty good, y'all. He had all the success that this world had to offer. Mama's saying, Lemuel, don't sin against God. Don't give your senses. Don't give your understanding away to anybody. And then on the second part of that scripture, he says, verse 6, give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. Let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his misery no more. And I thought about that. I was trying to figure out how do I understand this? How do I exegete this? How do I explain this? And this is my understanding of this portion of scripture. What his mother is saying to Lemuel, she's saying, Lemuel, these folks who get caught up in this kind of stuff, who let alcohol and drugs take over their life and their mind, Lemuel, don't be like them. They're on their way down. He says, they're getting ready to perish. They don't even know it. He said, they're getting ready to perish. Lemuel, your mama's saying to you, son, if you listen to me, you're on your way up. When you serve God, you're on your way up. Don't hang out and hang around and hang on to people who are on their way down. Listen to me, son. Listen to me. I know what I'm talking about. And I think it's so wonderful that the Lord lets us in on the inside of Lemuel's thoughts. All this stuff his mama told him as a kid, we don't know at what portion, but here he is, a grown man, the king, and he's remembering. He's reflecting on what mama put into him. Don't give up, y'all. They might look like they sleep. They might look like they're not paying attention. Don't give up. Don't stop. Don't stop. Keep putting it in them. Keep putting it in them. Keep putting it in them. Then she goes on to give him a warning about the ways of the world. A warning about the ways of the world. Open verse 8. Open thy mouth for the dumb in the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. She repeats two times. Open your mouth, Lemuel. Open your mouth, Lemuel. Say something, Lemuel. I want you all to raise your hands if you've ever heard Christian people say, well, I don't need to say anything. I'm just going to let my life speak for me. Open your mouth. Tell somebody about Jesus. Yes, your life is wonderful. I'm happy that you live a Christian life. That's a wonderful thing. But open your mouth. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Open your mouth. If you care enough about other folks, if you love them enough, open your mouth. She says, son, open your mouth for the dumb in the cause. Speaking of those, it could be taken two ways. It could be those who have no voice physically because of a physical impairment, and those who have no voice in this society. And when I look at this, and it's not just our society, this is anywhere. That's, you know, this was written, I dare say, in the Middle East. So it's not just America we're talking about here, y'all. Don't try to make everything boom, boom, America. But there is a cause. And she said, open your mouth. One of the best examples I see in Scripture is King David. King David was just a lad. He was just a lad. And his father sent him to check on his brothers. His brothers were out on the front. Israel was at war with the Philistines. And so David, being just a lad, we don't know how old he was, but we figured he was a teenager. He was a young man. And David got to the battlefront. And when he looked over yonder, there's Goliath. Goliath, who's the champion, almost 10 feet tall. His spear was about the size of an average man. His shield took two men to handle it. And here he is over here. And he's shouting out at God's people. And when I look at that and I think about that, I say, Lord, that's what's going on here. Goliath, this big old rascal up here, he's shouting out at God's people. He said, who's going to come and fight me? Why don't y'all send out your best man? Send out your best man. Come on. Somebody take, I'm looking for somebody to whip today. Just send them on out. And don't send me no punk. Send me your best man. And here's what we're going to do. Here's the deal we're going to make. If he beats me, if he beats me, y'all can have everything we have. But if I whip him, you will be our servant. And the Bible says that all of Israel was cowering, was scared, was shaken. We can't stand up against that big giant. And here this boy, this lad, with the only experience he ever had was fighting lions and tigers and bears. But since he knew that the only reason he was able to defeat the lions and tigers and bears is because he had God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, on his side. He knew that. And the Bible says when Goliath was shouting out, send me somebody to fight. Come on. Come on. And nobody stepped up but David. And David said, is there not a cause? Is this not something worth fighting for? Y'all let this uncircumcised, ugly Philistine have God's people cowering and huddling and running away? Is there not a cause for somebody somewhere to stand up against this evil? Lemuel's mama said to him, Lemuel, when you see a cause, open your mouth. My challenge to Good Shepherd Baptist Church, we got two major causes. We got a lot of causes, but we got two things going on in our nation right now, full front. We got people going to the Supreme Court of the United States saying, I'm going to disregard what this says about marriage, and I'm going to make you accept a man and a man and a woman and a woman and call it marriage. Is there not a cause? But guys, people sit back, well, you know, I got a cousin, and I got a brother, and I got a sister. The Supreme Court of the United States, it says, if a woman wants to terminate the birth of her child, whenever she feels like it, she can do it. And the church says, well, you know, who am I to, I did it. If you did, won't you tell her that forgiveness is available? Won't you tell her that? Won't you love her enough to tell her that? If you got a friend, a cousin, a brother, a sister who's a homosexual, don't you know that God says not one, not one, not one will inherit the kingdom of God? Don't you know that? You got more compassion than God? You're going to tell him, okay, don't worry about it. We'll work this out. I'm going to let you. God gave me a shock the other day. I walked into Mardell's. Me and my wife going into Mardell's. And out walks a lesbian couple. And proud of it. I mean proud of it. And I, when I'm out, I speak to everybody. I just say hello, good morning, good morning. And I was just getting ready to say good morning to this lady. And the more manly one of them, she said, how you doing? And I went, whoa. But she just walked out of the Christian bookstore. Lord used that to tell me something. Because I was stunned. I was just flat out stunned. Here she is, lost as lost can be. And I can say that because the Bible says if that's what you are, you're lost. That's what it says. He says, none shall inherit the kingdom of God. And she looked at me and she said, that means practicing. That means if you such were some of us. He said, but if that's your life, under no circumstances on God's green earth are you going to inherit the kingdom of God. And I am not going to lie to you about that. I care too much about you to lie to you about that. But hear what the Lord said to me. I'm like, oh my goodness. This woman is just as bold. And she says, because in her mind, she has really taken care of the most important issue. See, this is what's important. This is what Christians miss out. When there is a cause, sometimes we get caught up in misdirection. And we don't get the most important issue, and we get hung up on the secondary issue. This woman, because she feels she is taking care of her salvation, that's why she's there in the Christian bookstore, because she feels she's a Christian. So she feels, and by the way, y'all, the biggest homosexual church in America is right over in Dallas, Texas. So don't tell me they don't really believe they think they're going to heaven. They believe they're going to heaven. So she feels that she has already solved the most important issue, which is the issue of salvation. And now she's going to argue with you and me about a secondary issue, which is marriage between homosexuals. Or a secondary issue, which is abortion. And the Lord said, don't you get fooled with misdirection. Now, we're going to take a stand on the marriage issue. And we're going to take a stand on the abortion issue. But he said real clear, don't you ever forget the most important issue is their salvation. He says, because if you get them saved, guess what? They'll turn away from homosexuality. If you get them saved, guess what? They won't kill their babies. If you get them saved, guess what? They won't be terrorists. If you get them saved, guess what? They won't be in any other false religion. The primary issue of the church today is to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead. Do not allow the heathen to frame the discussion. You frame the discussion. And you always take them back. See, because the marriage issue, he figures that's between me and him. The greater issue is between him and God. And who's going to tell him? Open your mouth. Open your mouth. No, we don't ever condone it. We don't ever go alone to get along. We are fervent in our rejection of any kind of teaching that it's okay with God, because it's nowhere in the Bible. But you got to love them enough. You got to love them enough Your cousin's sitting there looking like a Barbie doll. And you're going to say, ain't nothing wrong. Ain't nothing wrong. Don't you dare. Yeah, but he won't ever talk to me again, Pastor Will. At least he'll know where you stand. At least he will know the word of God. And somewhere down the road, in God's grace, if he'll humble himself or if she'll humble herself, I don't care how long they've been in the life, y'all. Doesn't matter. If they will humble themselves before the mighty hand of God, he'll pull them out. He'll save them. He'll save them. Some of them, he'll save them just like this. Boom, boom. They're out of it. Some of them, it's going to be a struggle because it's a sin against yourself. People can't hardly stop smoking cigarettes. This is tougher. But God says, such were some of you. And he loves you enough that if he puts you in their path, he puts you there at the family reunion. Great place to make friends. And but if he puts you there, don't you dare walk away from there without letting that person know how much you love them. And the only way you can let them know how much you love them is to tell them about Jesus. You don't have to beat it into anybody's head. You're not the prosecuting attorney. But if you've been saved from whatever it is you were in, if you love them, tell them, for Jesus' sake, tell them. They might call you all kinds of stuff. They might say all kinds of things to you. But if you love them, if you love them, if you don't want them to perish, because just as sure as I'm standing here, the Bible guarantees you they're going to perish. If you love them, tell them. Mothers, I thank God for all of you. For those of you who aren't mothers and you want to be mothers, I pray for you because the Bible says that a child, every child, male or female, every child is a blessing. So don't be one of them mothers sitting around talking about, I don't want a girl. You're a girl. If God bless you with a girl, say thank you, Lord. If he bless you with a boy, say thank you, Lord. If he bless you with twins, just say thank you, Lord. Because being a mother is a blessing. But I want to encourage each and every one of you, no matter where you're at right now in your child's life, if they're still within arm's reach, put some more Jesus into them. Put some more Jesus into them. Let them know, first of all, how much he loves them. Let them know how much you love them. Put some Jesus into them. Let them know that when they were young, tell them, I made a vow. I asked God for you. And you were the answer to my prayers. I used to take you like this and hold you like this and put you like just like that. You were the answer to my prayers. Let them know. But then let them know it comes a time when it's between you and God. Don't try to put me in the middle of it because I'm not going to run interference for you no more. It's between you and God. And I want to tell you this based on the authority of Scripture. If you'll train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not. Some people say, well, I'm not sure what that means. I'm not too good at English, but I do understand plain English. It says, he will not depart from it. Mothers, my prayer for each one in here is that one day, your son, your daughter, They're able to sit back and have reflections about the wisdom of their godly mother.